Welcome to Walking Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 2 called Jonah's Song.
Many have commented on the book of Jonah, especially chapter 2 here, that there's a similarity to the Psalms. I want you to hold your finger in Jonah and turn to Psalm 40. The Psalms are a great place to go when we're in distress, aren't they? Many of you have discovered that. But this shows us something about Jonah. Jonah knew his Bible because Jonah's psalm is very similar in content and phrasing to a lot of the Psalms written by David and others. This is Psalm 40, verse 1. It says these words. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put, Psalm 40, verse 3, a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. Think of Jonah and Nineveh. Think of him being regurgitated on the seashore. Think of his story. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will what? Trust in the Lord. Now there are many psalms I could take you to, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read Psalm 5 verse 2. It says, turn back to Jonah if you will. Heed the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to thee I do pray. In 2 Samuel 22, David spoke these words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Listen to it. 2 Samuel 22, 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take my refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Thou dost save me from violence. Verse 4, 2 Samuel 22. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of Sheol, almost the image of the cords of death coming, trying to wrap themselves around David. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. There are many, when they see this term Sheol, who have concluded that when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he died. Because Sheol is the equivalent of the New Testament Greek word Hades, the abode of the dead. It was known in Jewish thought as a dark, gloomy place of departed spirits. And even in Jewish thought, both the righteous and the wicked ended up there. And then we know from the New Testament that it tells us when Jesus died on the cross, remember Ephesians 4, he led captivity captive. And there are many conservative scholars that believe that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, what he did is he cleaned out the compartment of the righteous in this place of Sheol or Hades and brought them into the throne room of God. That's one orthodox position. But the wicked dead stayed there. So there are some that hold that Jonah was actually alive 3 days and three nights. And we've told you that could be a portion of days, not necessarily a full day, full 72 hours, if you will. But there are others who believe that he literally died, that his spirit went to Sheol and prayed, and that his spirit was then reunited with his body in the belly of the fish, which would be similar to Jesus' experience in what? The tomb, of which Jonah's experience is a sign. Are you with me? Because of the term Sheol. Now, we don't need to be dogmatic on this, but we know when the rich man died in Luke 16 and the poor man died, the poor beggar, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. They could see each other. Remember, the rich man could see Lazarus and Abraham there, but they couldn't cross over. There was a great gulf fixed. And what did the rich man do in Hades or Sheol? He began to what? He began to pray, or he was calling out to Abraham, and he was concerned about his family. So apparently he had his senses, though his body had been buried, according to Luke 16 and the words of Jesus, he was still able to say words and be concerned for others. And so there are some that have concluded that Jonah was actually dead and then came back into his body. I'll leave that to you, but I was reading a commentary by J. Vernon McGee, and he holds this position, and he's gone home to be with the Lord some years ago. But he said he was talking to a college student, and the college student was being beat up by this professor, who said, "How it's impossible that someone could live in a fish 3 days and three nights like this." And so Dr. McGee shared his position that he thought that Jonah actually died. And it seemed to help the young man at least overcome some of the objections. But think about it. What's the greater miracle? That God could keep him alive in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights? Or that he died and was resurrected? Which is the greater miracle? You see, this book is a book about a God of miracles. This whole book. Do you understand that? The reason that people can't handle the story of Jonah is because they reject miracles. So they try to find a naturalistic explanation. And I gave you some of the potential scientific and naturalistic explanations, which there are some, that this could happen. But either way, it was a miracle. And if he died, it was a bigger miracle. Are you with me? See, this is a God who does miracles. And so it's interesting, though, if he was dead, because then it raises some other interesting questions about life after death and what happens there. Isaiah 14, 9 and 10 says, "Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come." Listen to this. This leads into the fall of Lucifer in Isaiah 14. "It arouses for you the spirits of the dead. All the leaders of the earth, it raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will respond and say to you, 'Even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us.'" Now, how many of you saw the movie Ghost? Now, as theologically incorrect as it was, there's a great scene in that movie. Do you remember when the bad guy, the friend who betrays his friend, dies? That piece of glass comes down and hits him, and he dies, and his spirit comes out. Do you remember the spirits that came up out of the ground? And they went, no. There were these dark things. Is that the Tasmanian devil? I'm not sure. But anyway, they came up, and they grabbed him, and you remember the scene? He was pulled down into Sheol. That was kind of what the movie was trying to say. And in Isaiah 14, 9 and 10, you might want to check it later and read the whole chapter. The idea is like Sheol is stirred up when someone who thinks they're so powerful is coming down, and they say in essence, "You're coming to join us and you're going to be just like us. And all your pomp and circumstance and how great you thought you were, death, my friends, is the great equalizer, isn't it?" And so, whatever the case may be, interestingly enough, when the resurrection is talked about in the New Testament, there's a quotation from Psalm 16:10. And it's quoted by Peter in one of his early sermons, and he says this, "Therefore my heart was glad," this is Acts 2:26 and 27, "my tongue exulted," this is speaking of Jesus and the resurrection, "moreover my flesh will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades," it says in Acts 2:27. In Psalm 16:10, it says, "thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, and you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." I don't know which is the correct position. Sometimes Sheol is used in hyperbolic language. That means extreme language to picture death or a near-death experience. And so the sea in this verse, and this is the other position, could be a type of Sheol. That is a type of the grave or a near-death experience, but literally maybe he didn't die. And I'll leave that to your further study. But you all know that when someone has a near-death experience, either they lost the life signs, clinically they were dead, or they had a near miss. And some of you have had near misses on motorcycles and cars and whatever, maybe even with a physical ailment. When you have a near-death experience, does that change you? It does. Because all of a sudden you begin to realize, you know what? Life is boiled down to a few simple things. And although there are a ton of things that we can concentrate on in this world, difficult circumstances, difficult people, all these things that come at us, life is really boiled down to this one thing. Jesus says, this one thing, sit at my feet. Learn who I am, come to know me, use your life in my service, seek first the kingdom of God, what? And his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And sometimes what it takes for us as humans, because we're so stubborn, and that's what Jonah was, is to hit rock bottom to realize, you know what? Life is pretty simple. It can be very complex, but God wants to keep it very simple. You know what he wants? He wants your heart. He wants you to serve him and know him and be used in his service. And so back in Jonah 2:3, as he continues his prayer, he says these words, "For thou had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas." Who cast Jonah into the deep? Well, he says God did, but did God do it? No, he asked the sailors actually to do it, to make him walk the plank, but the sailors became a means of God's discipline. Ever been there?
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people? Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 in the morning. Turn on the radio, it's on 99.5 FM, and I hear this pastor speak the Word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 in the morning, and said, hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth, because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere. So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, hey, where's Michael Lance located? She says, Corona. And I said, where's that? She said, Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road. That was 5 years ago, and my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance, right here on Walk in Truth.
Who cast Jonah into the deep? Well, he says God did, but did God do it? No, he asked the sailors actually to do it, to make him walk the plank, but the sailors became a means of God's discipline. Ever been there? Ever been confronted by maybe even an unbeliever and they put you in your place and you go, what? And you got no answer? Sometimes that happens. You cast me into the heart of the sea, verse 3, and the current engulfed me. New King James says the flood surrounded me. There's about 10 Hebrew words for floods, and this has the idea in the language of multiple floods. like multiple flooding rivers all coming down on Jonah at the same time. That's the picture here. I was engulfed by the waters. Now, I've surfed over the years, and I've had a few scary moments out in the ocean. Have any of you had some scary moments in the ocean? There was a time when I was surfing with a buddy of mine, and our leashes got tangled up. And it was a big day out there, big waves, and we got tangled up, and I was under the water going, and trying to, you don't even know which way is up. You're in the washing machine, as it were. And you start to pray at times like that. And your prayers are very simple. God, help me! Right? No need for long prayers at that point. Simply put, help! And the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows, notice, passed over me. NIV says, all your waves and breakers swept over me. The imagery here is, Lord, you made the ocean, you're in control of it. And right now, it is just absolutely beating me up. Ever follow the movie, The Ten Commandments, and you watch Charlton Heston. You know, he's called and... And it shows him walking through the desert, and he's only been given a small ration of food. And so, you know, he's the sun's scorching him in one scene, and then the wind's blowing, and the sand's whipping in his face, and he's got his cloak up over his face, and finally he's on his knees, and he's crawling, and he's squeezed out all the water, and the last, you know, crawl and energy he's got, and then the voice booms, "Now the metal is ready for the maker's hand." Ever been there before? See, that's what God often does. He'll allow things to kind of sweep over you and even overwhelm you, so you'll look to him. And so I said, verse 4, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, would you note this, Bible students, this jumped out at me. I will look again toward thy holy temple. You see, Jonah's heart was always with the temple, but he had looked away. And he describes his experience, though he tried to run from God, he describes his experience as being expelled, verse 4, from the sight of God. As though God had said, get out of my sight, but God hadn't said that. Jonah did. And then he says, but I will, nevertheless, I will look again. Some of you may need to take a fresh look again at that holy temple. I will look again toward thy holy temple. Maybe a picture of the temple in Jerusalem, but it always has the idea of God's presence there at the temple. And so he says, verse 5, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. In essence, he's saying, I was staring death in the face. This word for deep here, the deep engulfed me, is a term of the mysterious sea used in Genesis 1:2. And Jonah says, I even had seaweed wrapped around my head. I had a seaweed turban going on, man. You ever been out in the water? And you know how seaweed is sometimes? You get a little piece of seaweed. And first, you know, if you're a surfer, you've been in the water, you know, sometimes seaweed, you think it's something that's trying to get you. You know, and you're throwing the seaweed up and it's just seaweed. But it can be real sticky and slimy. Can you imagine it being wrapped around your head, you know? Like a cocoon, if you will. There's Jonah. And he says, I descended, verse 6, to the roots of the mountains. Remember, he's writing his psalm now. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Henry Morris comments, so far as we know, the people of Jonah's day had no way of exploring the floor of the ocean. So they did not know that the coastal mountain ranges extended below the adjacent ground level on down to the bottom of the sea. Yet Jonah could actually see that this was the case, and so even mentioned it in his prayer. People didn't have the ability to scope the bottom. How did he know that this was where the roots of the mountains were, if you will? But see, apparently Jonah literally did hit rock bottom. Apparently, he went to the bottom of the sea and the fish scooped him up down there. And so he says, NIV, verse 6, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever, but you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. The pit is a similar idea to Sheol or Hades. And you remember Jesus said, the gates of what? Hades will not prevail against the church. And Jonah says, the earth beneath me, it seemed like it was going to bar me in forever. I thought I was going to die. And once you die, it's appointed unto men to die once. And after this comes the what? Judgment. I think there's a lot of people that are banking for second chances. But the image of Sheol is like a place of bars or gates that don't raise up again. There are no exits. Any of you ever watched the pastor E.V. Hill? Now, E.V. Hill had some associations that I don't necessarily agree with, but he was a fiery preacher, and sometimes he would sit down in a chair. And one night I remember I was watching it, and he preached a message called, I Don't Want to Go to Hell. And every time he said, I don't want to go to hell, he would say it like this, I don't want to go to hell! I don't want to go to hell! That's the way he preached. But he'd be real calm, and then he'd said it over and over again. And as he described what hell was like, he said, there are no exits, there are no windows, there are no second chances. I don't want to go to hell! And it just started to drive the point home, my goodness, do we understand what we're dealing with here? Do we understand what Jonah said? Jonah was basically saying, man, I was staring those gates in the face. I was realizing that life got boiled down to the simplest of terms. And maybe his prayer was something like this, like the psalmist said, don't abandon my soul to Sheol, Lord. Whether it was literal Sheol or the sea represented Sheol, whatever it was. And if it was the sea, then a good portion of Jonah's experience was in the sea that he's describing. And he says, while I was fainting away, 7, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple.
You've been listening to Jonah's Song, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah, Chapter 2. And if you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to see who's listening to Walk in Truth. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can find us at Walk in Truth Show. You can also leave us comments or questions there. Remember, search Walk in Truth Show on Facebook or Instagram. You can also find them on walkintruth.com. Now, here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Okay, would you say, you know what, I really relate to Jonah because I'm a stubborn individual. You know, the Lord said of Israel, they are a stubborn people. He used the term stiff-necked, as in hard-hearted, difficult for them to go in my direction. And that's not who you want to be. But maybe you would say, you know what? I realize this is a problem. I realize I am a stubborn person often, but I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to make things right. I don't know how to change. Well, the realization is a step, right? It's good to know how you are and what you tend to do, but that doesn't fix everything, right? If you're constantly stubborn or you have outbursts of anger and then you say, well, I know how I am, and you tell your loved ones, I know how I can be and I apologize, it still doesn't undo the damage of your tizzy or your stubbornness. So you say, well, then how can I change? You have to resolve ahead of time that you want to change before the moments happen. And if you know what tends to cause you to dig your heels in when you shouldn't, you have to ask questions like, well, why am I doing that? And I think the key, I've found the key to just about every deficiency and idiosyncrasy in my own character is to make sure that I'm just as close to Christ as possible. That's when all the fruits of the Spirit are flowing. That's when all His goodness is coming through my life, when I'm close to Him. I think that will solve a lot of it. Hey, if you'd like to talk to a pastor and you just need some prayer, we tell you occasionally about a phone number you can call. It's 9 to 4 Pacific time right here in Southern California. You can call 844-48-TRUTH. Get some prayer. Maybe you need somebody to just hear you out. We have pastors available Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 Pacific time.
844-48-TRUTH. Pray you go take advantage of that number. We've had many listeners reach out to us. 844-48-TRUTH. We are here for you. And we'll see you tomorrow as we do Jonah's song. God bless you.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah 2, called Jonah's Song.
He is the deliverer from the belly of death, from the grave, from Sheol, from Hades, from judgment. Do you understand? Without his blood, there is no remission of sins. Without him, there is no deliverance from the bars of death. Without him, you stay in the fish of death. Are you with me?
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.